Hello, fellow youth. This week, we're going to be able to live, actually, pretty much live through Nicole experiencing that feeling when you suggest a YouTube video to someone and you watch them watch it and you realize they don't like it as it goes through and you feel bad. Except in this case...
I hadn't seen the YouTube video either, and I'm right along with you going, yeah, this is garbage. This is bad.
We can change it, you guys, except we can't because we locked ourselves in at the last recording.
That's okay. Woo. I think it'll be weirdly fun to talk about how much we did not enjoy this book.
And in an odd turn of events, I am the least emotional about this, which is...
that never happens.
Right?
I am so filled with... emotion.
Audrey's and a quiet rager.
Just angry anger.
Until it explodes out of me and I start screaming.
What color is your anger,
oh,
Audrey?
Oh my God!
Anyway, so before we get into just like an hour of screaming
it's
from
the
everyone.
Color of blood and burst eyeballs. So, look at that. I'm better at writing horror than she is.
Nailed it. Write a book.
Probably. I should, obviously.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so if we don't, you know, get a cease and desist letter from Stephanie Garber after we discuss her
book.
Oh
my God, it would be sealed with kisses and flowers, so would it even be bad?
It would be on gilded paper and it would rhyme, but not very well.
Yep.
We are discussing Garabel by Stephanie Garber. Now, to do a too long didn't read, because I'm sure everyone here is going to suggest...
Oh, wait, who are we, though?
Oh, yeah, I'm Kathy.
I'm Audrey.
I'm Nicole.
I hesitated for a second because I'm like, who are we? That is so deep, Audrey.
Well, the thing about Caravelle is sometimes it can make you question who you are and also reality.
Beware of getting swept too far away. Anyway, so essentially this book, I'm just going to do a quick too long didn't read, is that you have the main character, Scarlett, probably no relation whatsoever to Scarlett O'Hara, and we have her sister, Donatella, not the Ninja Turtle, but just Donatella. And they live on this island somewhere that they're not allowed to leave, but they tried to escape a few times with a horribly abusive father. And Scarlett's about to get engaged or married. She's engaged to be married to this guy.
To a count she does not know anything about. Never seen him.
All she knows is that he's a count. So and she's like, this might be better because I won't get beaten anymore.
Which and technically, I guess, is exactly one step up.
Yeah, it's a good
but
step up.
Also, how do you know?
Yeah,
you don't.
That's the thing. I was like, well, are you sure this guy's not going to beat you?
He's so nice in his letters.
His handwriting's super loopy. That's what she said. Yeah.
But apparently, there's also this weird, semi-magical, mystical carnival that happens every year that's called Caravelle, and it's led by this guy, Legend.
So, who may, setting you up for a letdown right there.
Yeah, who may or may not be evil, and no one knows what he looks like except for the fact that her grandma used to fuck him.
And told these stories to her little grandkids.
Don't worry, she changed the names, so, you know, they don't know. But yeah, all this is happening, and then she ends up getting away off the island, and her sister essentially kidnaps her, and they go off, and she enters into this carnival, and... oh no, her sister has been kidnapped. Or maybe she was just having sex with a guy. No one knows. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on this wonderful adventure with a generic male interest.
Yes, kidnapped by a sailor who's boring.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be like danger and stuff.
But
and they're in this mystical
boring world.
And they go through and then they all live happily ever after. Oh my God. And that's the book. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where we are. So let me quickly roll through the cast of characters. And yeah, it's been about a week and a half since I read this book. And I don't remember... I literally didn't remember any of their names except for Donatella, because I just thought of Donatella Versace every single
and
time.
And she's not even called that in the book. She's just called Tella, so it'd be so easy to forget her anyway.
And for some reason, that's the only one. Like, I didn't remember Scarlett, who's the main character. I didn't remember any of their names.
Yes, her name's so generic, and I forgot it half the time. I forgot whether the book was in third or first person, because I couldn't remember. Yep. I was like, is it Scarlett? Are we talking about? Okay. So dull.
Mm-hmm. There's Scarlett, whose nickname is Crimson from, you know, the generic love interest.
It's not even a nick. It's the world's worst joke that he never let go of.
It's like that thing. I mean, it's a common joke in shitty romance novels of like, I'm going to call you by the wrong name, but it's a creepy, not funny power play.
Yeah, I'm going to nag you endearing. And that will make you love me more.
That will make you love me. I can't remember your name, even though we've been trapped on a boat together for a day.
Yeah, and Scarlett has, you know, dark hair. Actually, probably much closer to you two in appearance. I look like the shitty, selfish sister. She's like, with her curly, like, brownish blonde hair, I'm like, God damn it, that's me. Like,
I guarantee you that Scarlett is just a little white girl. She's not. No,
Well, for sure.
Well, Audrey then.
Fine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Audrey.
I'm sorry. Yeah. She's pale and has dark hair. It's fine.
And she's beautiful.
End of personality. So she could be anyone with brown hair.
She literally could be anyone. She probably was based on at least an appearance on Scarlett O'Hara, if we're going to go with that.
There's a theory I have that her name was maybe just like, you know how sometimes when you were a kid, you'd write a book and then you'd be like, no, I want her name to be Jubilee or something bonkers. And you go back with control search and like change it all. There's a bit where Scarlett's name's occasionally only spelled with one T. I feel like she just went through and kept changing. It was like, no, I want her name to be Bianca now. No, I want to be Scarlett now. Wait, and like she missed one.
Yeah.
Because there's one where it's like Scarlett, two T's. Next sentence, Scarlett, one T. Next sentence, Scarlett, two T. So I'm like, even you can't really remember what your character's name is?
Yeah, that's not good. Also, Donatella calls Scarlett Scar as a nickname, and I have no idea how.
I'm sorry. That's the best nickname. I would like, that's the coolest her character ever got was when she was Scar. And then like maybe one day Julian will just call her Sun, short for Crimson. And like, you know, there's some cool, like she has cool territory to go, but it doesn't go there.
No, it's another good, like good setup. The Scar makes it sound like she'd be cool, but no, it's just another letdown.
God.
It just already was so at odds with her character that I was like, I don't understand how this nickname got started.
It's not. Interesting, it doesn't say anything about her. It's just a different form of red, so, you know.
She would quite honestly be
Letty. Call her Burgundy, too, if you want.
She'd be Letty. Like, if she had a nickname, it would be Letty. She's a Letty character. Like, that's...
Yeah.
She'd be, like, a little prim background character princess in any other book named Letty. Like, that's pretty much it. Then there's their father, who I don't remember. He's evil. He's plum-colored and purple, which is apparently an evil color.
Yeah.
Because, Scarlett sees colors. I forgot about that. She sees colors whenever there's emotions or scents or sounds. That they're just, everything has a color, and they don't explain this. So it's just, I remember I went through with some of my friends, and I was just like, surprise, is chartreuse colored? Like, just like the weirdest things kept popping
up. Nausea is vaguely bluish.
Yeah. Or you're just like... I don't even know, but like, I'm terrified. It is purple. And I'm like, that's the color of the book. Like, who does that? Flatiron Books, you need to get your copy editing together and you need to like have someone read the book and then actually do the cover. Like, I know stock images are the thing, but like, come on. And then, so their father's evil and he's just like kind of an ambiguous, faceless, evil guy. Mm-hmm. Then there's her fiance, who you later find out, and this is the only other name I remembered, is D'Arcy or Darcy. So I was like,
wonder where she got that from.
Yeah, really, where did that come from?
Oh yeah, and did you, it doesn't matter, spoilers, but there's also another something. It's her really lame way of doing those like, I can't remember the word is, but like scrambled letter names. Like Tom Marvel or Riddle, Anagram. Was I am Voldemort? Yeah, that. Except it was so lame because like there's that guy Daniel at the end, Daniel DeEngel, and I'm like, okay, so DeEngel is clearly just legend switched around in his last name.
God, I wonder who he is.
I wonder who he can be.
Daniel Dangle.
Daniel Dangle.
Sounds like he'd be friends with Harvey Kinkle.
It was such a good cover up, but you know what? It didn't quite work on me.
What book was it? Was it in the Invisible Library where she's like, oh, fairies just spell their names backwards and that's what it is. Like, that's their secret invisible thing.
That sounds like.
And it's probably very similar. So then there's DeEngel, aka Legend, who actually wasn't even that guy. We didn't see him over the course of the book, except when he almost date raped Donatella at the end of the book.
Is that the Count? D'Arcy? D'Arcy.
No. This is Legend talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He almost date raped her. D'Arcy, by the way, also almost actually raped Scarlett, because, you know, she is his property, even though they aren't married yet. And he's like stripping and he's I'm sorry, I had to do this to you. And it's like, no one's fucking forcing you.
Yeah. This book's full of weird, problematic sex situations. Mm-hmm. There was almost none that just felt okay. Actually, I don't know that there were any that just felt like two consenting people being together. Yeah. And also in a way that made sense. Because it was always like, the only time she was like, I'm happy to be doing this were weird times when any normal person would not be thinking about it.
Would be like, I'm about to die.
I'm drowning. I should focus on that.
Yeah. I should get my life together and stay alive. No.
No.
But look at that there's too. A lot of her talking about, like, we'll talk about this, but she prioritizes definitely her relationship over her life several times.
Yeah.
Where she's it's okay. He gave me this moment between us, so I could die tomorrow. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
She's just looking. She just wants to die. I think that's like where she's looking for excuses. But then there's her generic love interest, Julian, who you later, spoiler alert, find out is the brother of Legend. The fuck?
Irrelevant plot change. Yeah. Could have happened or not happened and would not have affected the plot.
Literally doesn't mean anything except it like further points home that he is very attractive.
Yeah, don't forget he's pretty.
They're all pretty.
And now he's magic.
Really pretty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Literally every guy she met was pretty.
They're pretty and they don't age, and that one has a sleeve of tattoos, which means he's intense.
Yeah, that's right. And she's super into him. And then he becomes a dick immediately, though.
Yeah, as soon as she's not also into him, he becomes a massive
There's so many
tool.
Characters that just go whoosh, and they're like, and I think
and you're like, why?
The book uses that, like, it's all a game as an excuse, but actually it is just kind of like an excuse for really flimsy situations, really flimsy characters. Oh, they're like, he's not acting like you'd expect because it's a game, but more it's like, I couldn't be bothered to build this character.
Okay, so under should you read this novel, which is the next thing we have, I'm going to start and I'm going to say you should read this novel if you are a creative writing student, because I think this would be, if you skip through it, one of the best prompts ever. Just like, you know, this quick like, creative writing prompts, like there's a magical carnival, it lasts 5 days, and there's something like sinister about it. That would be a great fucking jumping off
premise. Solid.
I mean, granted, like you probably could just start with what I just said and just go with that and not actually read the
and
book.
So
but like,
many people would make it good.
Right, yeah. And it's like, it's so, it had the opportunity to be so good. So I think if you're like into like maybe, there's maybe you want to do a fan fiction, make it better and do like a 50 Shades of Grey of this.
Yeah, hey. Stephen King, one of his actual writing advices is or piece of writing advice is to read bad books, because then you learn like what not to do. Mm-hmm. Because like writing is actually difficult. So like seeing how someone does it poorly is actually super helpful. So there's that.
I mean,
that's a legit reason you should read this book.
There were good things, just not nearly as many.
Yeah. Stephanie Garber is a professor. Maybe this was all a big, like, exercise for her class.
It's an elaborate school assignment. Yeah.
It's actually just a compilation of a bunch of creative writing assignments.
Yeah.
Compiled.
I could see that, yeah. Like, there's probably just, like, one scene that she was just like, this is my book. And they're like, okay, you have to do, like, 400 more pages.
But it's only 20. What will I write?
Exactly. And then, so, what's your, do you have any reason to read this book?
I can't stop screaming about this book to people.
Read it if you want a conversation starter?
Yeah, but not a conversation starter, just a reason to yell at people.
If you're a ranter and you're looking for a thing to rant
my
about.
My poor coworker that I like have my desk next to her just has had her hear about this a couple times.
Mm-hmm. So can't even think of any reason.
No, like
so your advice would be just avoid.
Just avoid. Yeah. Just don't do it.
Sorry, quick interject. I just was looking up the book deal, so it is going to be a
It's gonna be a series. That she clearly left the door wide open. Not resolving anything.
Yeah, literally, it could just pick up immediately after this and be equally boring. Go ahead. Sorry,
it's a two-book deal. The original title was "Hearts Made of Black."
Son of a bitch.
God.
But don't worry, film rights were preempted by 20th Century Fox.
Oh, thank God.
That's good to know.
Honestly, as I was reading it, I kept thinking the only way this would be even a little okay is if it was just. Sorry, watching it on TV or something, and like all the colors she was talking about were actually like visible.
This would be a great CW show.
It'd be a good visual spectacle, but that's like
she
but
made
the book
some
couldn't
weird
do that.
Stage direction-y sentences in there a couple times where it's like, why did you write this that way? Because that makes no sense unless you're like making this into a film.
Yeah,
none whatsoever.
Possibly ulterior motive.
Okay, I'm sorry for interrupting you guys.
No, it's fine. I'm struggling to think of a potential reason why I should actually read this still.
Okay.
So, no.
Pass.
Great. Well, Audrey and I both agreed that at the very least, read this book if you like adjectives. If you like adjectives and you're looking for some new adjectives and you don't necessarily need them to be used in places that make sense, read this book. It's got so many adjectives. If you want to learn the names of colors, yes, Kathy, what do you suggest?
I have another reason why you should read this book.
Why?
Okay, let's say you have a boozy book club and there's just a book.
Oh, yeah.
This would be great for a wasted book club.
Yeah, a book that you just want to, like, hate fuck. This is it.
That's true. That's true.
It's part of the reason that I'm actually excited about this, because this is definitely a book. This is a book you'd love to hate. If you're a person who reads a lot, has lots of free time, and doesn't need to, like, prioritize their books in order to get the ones they like done, read this book just because you're a person who can go through it fast. I would say it's a quick read, but it really took me forever because I couldn't pay attention. It just didn't move fast enough for me. But I'd say read it.
Painful. I kept looking for reasons not to read it.
Yeah, I kept kind of getting distracted, and I'm easily distracted. So I was nothing but distracted.
I don't touch my phone when I read books, and I was constantly on my phone when I was reading this book.
Yeah, I read it in like one night, but I had a lot of stressful things going on, and I think I skipped like three just paragraph like, chunks at a time because I was like, well, they're just being stupid here, and I would just pass along. So
I made myself read every word, even like I wanted to just skip through and just do the dialogue so I'd understand what's happening without having to read it all. But I read every little bit of it, and mostly it was just kind of redundant. Like, she said a lot of the same things at the same time, and she, read this book if you like adjectives. Read this book if you've got lots of free time, and if you like the premise. The premise is good. It's just not executed
great. Not if you
great.
Like the premise, though, because it lets you down.
Yeah.
If you've got a good
imagination. She lets you down.
Yeah. That's all I can think of. I can't think of any other reasons.
The premise of magic, game, romance. Yeah. Tell us about it, Nicole.
So this book advertises itself, when I've been seeing it about, I've mostly been hearing it called a fantasy and a romance book. And that's why I picked it, because I like fantasy and I'm a big romantic. I wrote down what those words actually seem to mean in the book. I ran into the word magic a lot. Magic just seems to mean drugs or anything that could be mistaken for drugs, because there's a lot of mix of that. When she first gets to the island, she's like, the air is so beautiful and it's so weird. I'm starting to feel funny. I wonder if it's drugged, the air. And it's weird that that's the first time she thinks it could be drugged, because there's also a scene where a lady in a shop sprays a perfume in her face and she's like, it must be magic. She just sprayed perfume in your face. It's drugs. It's obviously drugs.
The lady then says it's drugs. She's like, it helps you see what you need to see.
And everything in that shop was labeled just enough that it's like, potion of forgetting. It all sounds like, it's like if she handed her the bottle and she looked at it and it was like, magic. And
then Rohypnol.
And then you peel the label off and it says Rohypnol. And just a roofie. That's what it was like. There was lots of magic, but it seemed a lot like it could also just be drugs. Like, they could be drugging everybody.
Yeah.
And it overlapped a lot. There was a gray area where she kind of seemed like, she talked about them like either would be fine and either would be magic to her.
But it's also interesting because in like, what the fuck is Legend withholding from the world? Because his staff don't age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he has some magical drugs there.
Yeah. And the magic's not really addressed either. They're just like, don't worry, there's magic. But only when it's, like, convenient and it wouldn't make sense any other way.
Yeah.
So, like,
I can bring your sister back to life.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, they have control over, like, death, straight up death. And there's so many. It's so crazy.
Well, Audrey just gave the most expressive sigh. She just, like, rolled her entire body, like, inside of just her eyes. She's,
I forgot about all the deus ex machina things that happened in this book. As in, every single thing, every single plot point just like works out and it doesn't make sense. It just like magically works out for
what
her.
What the characters do does not
doesn't
matter
make,
in this book.
Does not matter. So it's like, why is Caravelle 6 days long if it doesn't matter?
And a second thing is, why is it a game?
Yeah,
what part
why?
Of this is a game? So the book is also described, so magic was a word they use a lot, magic and fantasy. They describe it as magic and fantasy.
It's not actually a game because it makes sense to no one.
There's not really rules for it. Yeah. There's not really, and the thing is, what I was disappointed by was like, I get it if the game doesn't look like a very usual game, but it just doesn't, there wasn't even anything fun or gamey about it. There were like no real trials. No. There was no real effort. She was just kind of stumbling around. So Caravelle, the
like
location of
it. Oh, that was the
it.
Trial.
I
guess it was.
Or she literally stumbles into weird situations because she's like, maybe this is what the cryptic clue meant.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it does now because like it's going to work out for you to meet the clue.
Because whether she's wrong or right, she just ends up in places. And there's no, that's the thing. It didn't feel like a game because she didn't feel like she was actively playing. It didn't feel like anyone was doing anything except the point of the game, supposedly, is that they show up and they're supposed to solve a mystery, which is the missing of Tella. Which it really is barely part of the story. It's just kind of like Scarlet's motivation. They just use it every once in a while. It's almost like the way Ember in the Ashes constantly is reminding you, like, Darren's still out there as a motivation, but way dumber, because that was like the way you do that.
Yeah.
But this was kind of like, Tella's around, don't forget she's around, and that's like the only reason you're still here.
Kind of. Well, and the impression I got was that even to the players in the game, like the staff people, they like a couple times said like, sometimes you get rewarded for trying, a.k.a. there's no game. You're just here to do shit.
Just stumbling around.
Do cool shit in like a weird magic place.
Looking for Caravelle symbols you can poke and go down secret staircases. That's the only thing that was different.
Yeah. They pretty much like, she went through this game with like the cheat mode of white privilege turned on, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, she was just like, oh, I worked for this after someone handed her something. Like, it's just not.
Yeah. So I decided that game was synonymous, in fact, with gaslighting. It's not a game.
Yeah.
It's literally just there to confuse the shit out of you and be. Yeah. And it didn't feel, it really felt like, I think the definition of gaslighting is like trying to make a victim question their reality. Yeah. And yeah. It felt like everyone in there was a victim. Like he had a tiny little, a little game board and he was just like poking things and moving stuff around. Yeah, totally. Being like, you could die, I don't care. Yeah. It definitely just felt like gaslighting. It didn't feel like anyone would volunteer for this. Well, I would volunteer to watch because the only people who seem to be having fun were the people who were just shopping.
Yeah.
Just dicking around in stores.
And the thing that actually I was just thinking about was like, there's a way in which like game can become like a twisted and scary thing.
Like Saw.
Saw or like that short story, The Most Dangerous Game everyone read for like high school English. Like that's a super scary like concept. And it is a really cool idea that this like thing that's supposed to be fun can turn into this really horrifying situation where you're like fighting for your life, but this had none of that edginess and all of this like
if you like, die in the game, you wake up at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, literally, there's literally. No consequences except that, oh, I'm sorry, except the superficial ones, which are apparently the ones that count. You might have gray hairs or a scar, and that's the worst thing that could ever have happened to you.
Yeah.
But the scar shows how brave he was and how much he actually loves her.
And don't worry, the streak of gray hair is just an accent in her beautiful, long, dark, luxurious hair. So it's not even that big a deal.
I
could have made her cool, but it doesn't.
I don't know if you guys know this, but after the game ended, she actually went on to host What Not to Wear.
She took over for Stacy.
She is Stacy, man.
Yeah, it just definitely I decided that so magic meant magic and drugs were mixed together. Game and gaslighting is kind of what I thought. And then romance and lust were really mixed up because romance wasn't in this book. I mean, really.
They did not fall in love.
No.
Even she couldn't quite tell if she was in love by the end of the book.
No, she was like, I don't know if I know this man. It's like, so you don't.
But
she
was still
saying things.
But she was still saying things like, I think I love him or I think I'm in love with him, or making decisions like she was. So it was like, but clearly you don't. And also, he hasn't done any. He hasn't. It's another example of nothing different would have had to happen. Julian wouldn't have had to act any differently. She would have, because he didn't do anything interesting. He didn't do anything exciting. He's not that fun to listen to. He has nothing smart to say.
He gave her his blood, which gave her one day back.
He, but, I have so many things to say.
Oh, and he got those earrings back, too.
He got her earrings back
for no appreciable reason and also then, like, disappeared and got beat up.
And
it
didn't matter.
Because she was different, you guys. He could tell from that 12 hours where she was passed out from drugs in the boat that she was different.
chloroformed the shit out of her, he's like, this girl's different.
This is the one I like.
This one looks different when she's unconscious.
I can tell that she has a good heart.
Hated it so much. So that I decided that romance and lust were very mixed up, and I want to talk. I'll talk more about that later because I want to get into like each of the scenes that were categorized as romantic and how they were only romantic because a teenage girl was thinking about them. Like she made them kind of in her head. She was like, this could be romance. It's not. It was lust. Like, she was clearly feeling things, and, like, that's fine if you feel things, but, like, it wasn't related to anything good. Mm-mm. And it was in situations where I don't think she would feel lust. I think she'd be like, I think I'm dying.
Yeah.
I think my body's too busy trying to be alive.
Yeah.
Because every situation either had death or bleeding or being clocked over the head with something.
Yeah, there was, like, often violence right next to her being like, oh, I'm turned on.
Well, it was always, they all happened in the middle of violence or some kind of, right after some kind of violence, including the very last one where they're being slowly crushed to death in a tiny room, and she's like, I can feel all of his different body parts. Yeah. You're being crushed to death
so
in a
close
room
together.
We're going to talk about priorities, but if I start now, I'll just rant, so we may have to mosey along.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll save that for the end.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you have to say about the physical abuse?
Oh my God. So one of the most important, I guess, aspects of Scarlett's character was that her father is apparently incredibly physically abusive. Like, he did this thing where he would, like, whichever of the daughters.
He killed a boy in front of her.
Yeah, he killed a boy in front of her, which.
As a warning.
As a warning, which, like, and no one had any questions about that in this island that he governed, because, like, apparently it just went away.
Supposedly no one knows, but I don't know how they figured out.
How would no one know?
He drowned him in broad daylight in the ocean. So someone should have been paying attention.
Yeah, he drowned on his own.
Oh, yes, right. It was a sad accident where that guy held his head underwater till he was dead.
But the thing that really bothered, like, there is nothing wrong with writing about a character who has experienced physical abuse, especially from a parent.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Like,
and
a topic that
should
be.
Write it in a way that actually affects the character.
Yeah, definitely. My issue with this book was that it didn't. So the physical abuse was often used as an excuse for why Scarlett was a cautious,
sympathetic.
Yeah, sympathetic yeah. character, and then also, like, why she was more sensible somehow.
Which she wasn't.
Which she wasn't. So it just didn't seem like the physical abuse linked up to, like, her actual character, nor was it ever dealt in a way that was, like, thoughtful
yeah.
or, like, meaningful.
In
it
the
kind
end.
Of did at the end.
Oh, no.
No.
A little bit.
No. In the end, it was
he
even
just
more
walked
confusing.
Because
yeah. he was, like, kind of
he
a nice
was.
Guy.
Yeah.
Supposed, well, he I mean, thought like, he was a nice guy.
What I mean by a little bit is she made gestures at dealing
yes,
with it.
For sure.
Like, it's dealt with in the way that everything is dealt with in this book, which is, like,
easy.
Surface.
Too easy.
Yeah. yeah.
Where, like, and it also really, like, discounts how difficult abusive situations
yeah.
are.
No. Because, oh, yeah. like, I read Scarlet as, like, a pretty typical heroine and, like, abuse is a serious thing, and I don't think that this book dealt with it in a way that was, like, meaningful.
Or realistic.
And that, or realistic, and that makes me really upset because it's like, why would you include this at all?
The only thing I could think that was even a little realistic was how she, like, she thought that the abuse came out of her father's
yeah.
love. That's the only thing I could see as being realistic, but at the same time, like, no one ever was like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one told her. So, like, there might be... like teenagers who read this book and think, oh, maybe he's like hitting me mm-hmm. because he loves me. And it's like, it doesn't even say like, no.
Yep.
What is it Florence and the Machine said? A kiss with a fist is better than none.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
true,
nope.
people. All terrible.
False. So it just, I don't know why it was in this book. A separate issue is that like, I feel like it's totally fine to write a character that is just by nature cautious and, like,
yeah.
sensible, and, like, that's fine.
And if
we
she
don't...
was actually sensible, I think I would have liked it
yeah,
better.
Yeah, better, yeah. So, I also feel like it's one of those things where it's hard to criticize because it's a good thing that she was talking about it, I suppose, but I just wish that she had done it better
yeah,
and not used it as an excuse for, like, why Scarlet wasn't, like, more, like, hurt, like, brave or whatever. It just turned into this, like, get out of situation free card in terms of, like, the writing, where it was like, I'm flawed, it must be because of the abuse I suffered. And it's like, newsflash, all humans are flawed.
Like, speak for your fucking self. I am perfect.
I am flawless. I don't know if
yeah.
you know that. My t-shirt currently says flawless. It
yeah.
doesn't.
No, yeah. Beyonce, she actually wrote to me for advice on how to
on
be
how
flawless.
To be
how
flaw
to
be free. Flawless. Yeah, I hear she does that often.
Yeah.
I hear Beyonce has to ask for lots of advice on flawlessness.
Yeah. Yeah, just a quick thing. Just if you are in a bad situation, the National Domestic Violence Hotline, there's a phone number you can go. They have online like chat. They can also forward you if you are under 18 to someone where it's like within your family. Just get help. It's
don't
not
read
cool.
this book. This book's
yeah.
not useful.
Like no. you're not going to have some magical legend guy come in and fix your life, but you can be that magical legend guy.
And
you
please
can.
Don't spend your life thinking all will be okay as long as I find the right guy to marry.
Yes.
Because that's kind of what this book was. Everything will be fine as long as I find the right guy to marry.
Also,
yeah.
verbal abuse is also abuse. So
yes. Heck yeah. And Julian
that.
Does that a little bit too. just
that's called
that
negging.
There. Yeah. That's what
oh
he really felt like it.
It yeah. We'll so that was my rant about that. I also just feel like the reviews that I read of this book went nowhere near this issue, and that's also super irritating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
yeah.
don't get a free pass just because you talked about a difficult issue if you didn't actually engage with it.
If you used it as
yeah.
a prop, it's not
yeah.
it doesn't
it's not,
help anyone.
No, you're helping yeah. no one.
And Audrey's mad about it.
I am so, like, it just was so gratuitous, and it was just
yeah.
like, why?
And he didn't. They never really talked about his motivation either. That's the thing.
Well,
they
and that was also problematic because they were like, "Oh, it only happened after my mother disappeared."
And so she kind of blames her mom
yeah.
a little bit.
And it's like, no, no.
I just put a giant picture of the author up and faced it at Audrey.
Fine. Here, I'll look straight into her.
Straight in her face and yell.
Straight into her eyeballs. No, no. Your father is hitting you because of his own issues. It has nothing to do with your mother disappearing.
Yeah, he
also,
doesn't turn into an asshole.
No,
overnight.
Just because your mom. Disappeared.
Which, it's nuts to me that Scarlet does not think she's dead. I'm sure she's dead until they bring her back, which they probably will.
I think
because death's not real.
I think
real
they're
in this
going
book.
To, but
yeah.
also if she disappeared
you?
Without a sign, like a sign, she's probably escaping abuse. Let's be
yeah.
real.
Like, wow, maybe go. the only thing I could think of was like, wow, maybe if your dad wasn't hitting you when your mom was there, the
he
one
was
he was
hitting her.
Was your mom.
So yeah. it, to me, the fact that she's like, no, but of course it couldn't have. He couldn't have hurt her because he went
he
crazy
loved
after
her
she
too
left.
Much. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, so the fact, that's why you kept saying she was a cautious and sensible character. And I was like, but she made her so senseless in some ways.
So stupid.
That she couldn't figure out some really obvious stuff.
I'm not saying that she's actually sensible. I think that she's written as like she's supposed to
they
be.
They mention
sensible.
Her sensibleness a lot. Yeah. She's just not.
Oh, my God.
All that means is that she has glasses and a ponytail.
Yeah.
Not really, but, you know,
and she's kind of a square. Honestly, that's really all it is. She's not that much fun.
Which, like, is fine for a character to start there and go through this experience and become more, like, whatever.
But she's not that much fun, and she's also a little stupid.
Yeah, and she also doesn't actually go through very much character growth at all.
No,
so, like,
there's no character development in this book.
At the same time, it's 6 days, and this kind of goes into mine, like, world creation and stuff like that. I mean, it felt like too many because you guys fucking hated it, but at the same time, like, this book, I remember being like, oh, this is short, because it's like 380 pages. Mm-hmm. I'm so used to teen books these days being like 600 to 700 pages and like at least cover maybe a year of the character's life or something like that. So it felt so short to me, and I felt like it wasn't like she like pretty much hindered herself by giving out in this short limit. I mean, would it have changed? It felt so much more unrealistic to me if you had made Carnival 6 weeks instead of 6 days. Mm-hmm. Think about
even
it.
Even if you just like skipped over the time and just been like week one of Carnival, because she does that each like there's
night
chapters.
Thing.
Yeah,
because there's these things for like nights, and I'm like,
and then she does night four twice, so I'm kind of like, why are you bothering?
Yeah, yeah. Like it doesn't. I feel like there's so much that there, and then like we already briefly discussed it, but like the idea of a sinister magical carnival where you're not sure what's real and you're not sure what will like last afterwards, but with lasting effects. Could have been
so
great.
Cool.
That's the thing. There were so many moments that were set up that could have been good. There were so many characters that could have been good. There were so many situations that could have been good. And it all just kind of like set up. I got excited a couple times. And then I think by the end of the book, I was like, I know what this is.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to come of this. I'm not going to get too excited. It was a bummer. What was it? There was that scene where she actually just Caraval itself was kind of let down. I don't know if you were still in the middle of things.
The only reason why it was supposed to be cool is because everyone told us it was cool. And like, I guess that would be cool if you were like inside, but it was also a starry night with a bunch of canals to go everywhere. It could have been so fucking awesome. But instead it's just like, tra la 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 la. Oh, there's so much happening. What's going on? Oh, I'm going to die for 2 days. Yep. Like it's just,
it moved really fast and it was descriptive, but not enough. It was weird. Like I agree in ways about the books like feeling short, but actually I think the page length was fine. If she'd done more things with the amount of space, it just felt like, you know, Caravelle's described, but not really that much. It sort of feels like a weird like bastardization of like Hogsmeade combined
it's
with like
Disney. Yeah. It's Disneyland.
Yeah. It's Disneyland.
Complete with staff areas.
Yeah, it's a million different weird places.
Underground staff areas.
Yeah, it's
but they
Disneyland.
Don't describe it that well. They just occasionally will describe all the like knickknacks in the shops and how they're like magical knickknacks. That's also the only like evidence of magic is that the shops
Disneyland.
Advertise lots of silly magical things. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Disneyland, but way worse. It's not fun. It's the worst Disneyland. It's like Disneyland, the poor man's Disneyland.
I mean, I didn't even see a single dog in Carnival, so you can tell that it's a piece of shit place.
Also, I was a little disappointed. Like, she vaguely approaches characters of color, and it's fine, because honestly, I don't think I would have wanted this particular author dealing too much with that, because I don't know how well she would have handled it. But she also, what is it? There are no queer characters in this at all, even a hint of queer characters in this at all. And
it
seems like...
It would have been so easy, because the entire point of Caraval is to, like...
Let go.
And a huge, like, a crowd of open-minded performers. No one queers here? No one? Are you sure? And there was no one. So I was like, I was even waiting for, like, it in the background. Because I'm like, it's okay if you're just making it more visible. Like, hey, all kinds of people exist. But mostly she was just like, here's some straight people, and here's some straight people, and here's some white people, and here's some straight people, and this guy's brown. Don't worry, he's brown.
All the love interests were white men.
No, Julian was brown golden brown, which I also don't include.
He was Portuguese. He was from Portugal, essentially. So, he's Portuguese.
She made an effort to say brown every time she mentioned his skin tone, and I think she did that specifically so it wouldn't be like all white people, but that's just the same as a prop. It's a prop. It's another prop, just like the abuse, where she's like, oh, crap. It feels like she could have autocorrected. Like, she could have gone back and been like, shit, they're all white. I better go back.
He's just a tanner white.
Yeah. It's got Spanish hints. I think it's supposed to be kind of like Carnival. Is that like what the word is based off
of? I honestly don't.
And there's enough Spanish in it. At, like the isle they're on is like the Isle de los Santos or something like that. So there's hints that it's supposed to be kind of Spanish. So that's what I was trying to envision. But then there's like boats and like Italian canals.
Yeah.
So it was so many things that it was more like she's like, here's a list of things it could be like. And why don't you just kind of make it yourself in your brain?
Yeah. Which is like, why are we reading your book then?
Yeah, you do it. I'm not here to build the world.
Once again, great creative writing prompt.
Yeah, seriously.
And honestly, the shops were some of my favorite part because they were like, I was like, I think this is the part I'd play. I'd go in the shops and buy all the weird stuff, all the fun Hogsmeade shops and like the mirrors that she could somehow figure out would see the darkness in your soul. What, did it have a label or something? I don't get how she could spot like, all these weird artifacts.
That was weird too.
But she's walking by going, ah, that mirror looks as if it sees the darkness in your soul.
That's the thing, though. It was all so, like, it was, like, a sickly sweet book. And then there are these weird, like, nods towards darkness that then, like, weren't substantive. So
aren't followed through. There's no follow through.
Yeah. No follow through.
No, I just, I wrote a note before I actually began the book. I usually, like,
that
have a
shitty map.
I usually have a, the map, there's a map in the front. It's not the best map. It kind of looks like it was, like,
garbage.
It's not that great. But, like, I was so excited when I first saw it because I was like, a hatter and haberdashery is a major place in this book. This is going to be amazing. And then it wasn't.
It was like kind of like, ugh. It's where she meets her like fiance and then realizes that he's actually terrible. And you're like, are you surprised after all this time, day six of Caraval, and how much character development has happened?
There's also only six places on this map, and I feel like I remember visiting all of them, but none of them are interesting. Not a single place was interesting, except Castillo Maldito, which they weren't at for very long. And
they made out there, though.
They kept they
made
talking out there, about it.
And the only part that seemed interesting was the tunnels, where like apparently there's tunnels under Castillo Maldito, and
but
if you go down there,
tunnels
you'll go crazy.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's just a staff
the tunnels
area.
Were the only the tunnels were the only thing that I was like, investigate that. That could be fun. But then she's like, let me go back upstairs and just kind of wander around, dick around, stumble into fountains and shit. And just she wasn't doing it. It felt like the whole book she was just chasing after guys and that literally was how she got into most situations, was that shit, it looks like Julian just went out that door, so she'd chase him and she'd be in an alley when something crazy happened. She was chasing Julian, or she was chasing Dante, or she was chasing some guy that looked like Legend. Never her sister, funnily enough.
Yeah, constantly feeling guilty about her sister and then doing nothing
forgetting
about
all
it.
About that bitch.
Yep. Which I think I like wrote down notes for the first part of reading this, and literally at one point I was like, why, if you're not going to go after your sister, just stop telling me about it.
Yeah, I was like, even if you're just going to give up on it, which is basically what she did, but she kept talking about Donatella's the most important thing in my life and I have to find her. And even I was really pleased in the dress shop when she had to pay for one of her dresses with the thing she wanted most, and she said to find her sister, and this guy was like, nah, that's not it. And I was like, that's right, just admit it.
I wonder what she does want most in the world besides Julian's dick.
She never answered,
that's probably
it's definitely Julian's dick.
That's the actual answer.
Because I was waiting for her to have to say it. That seemed like the kind of book where they make you say it. But
to be real.
But then she didn't, so she had to die for 2 days.
I mean, I think, to be honest, the thing that she probably wanted most in the world is to just be safe. And I feel like if she had said, like, I want my sister and I to be safe, it would have worked.
Heck yeah.
I disagree, because the only thing that constantly motivates her in this book is Julian's dick.
But even before that, though, is she just wants to be safe. And to her, safety is a man that is not her father.
She definitely talks about that a lot. It makes sense for what it makes sense for the situation she's in. It just doesn't make sense for the character that they made her. It's too contradictory. Because I'm like, I get it. And like, I certainly understand if you're in an aristocratic, like, I don't quite get their society, but it seems like there's aristocrats. Like, maybe marriage is your only option, but it seemed like even when she had other options, marriage was what she was after, like, or a boy. Julian, in the end, is like, supposedly her freedom is to go off and marry Julian, but like, not once did she consider that her freedom was just to be independent and by herself, or to even like experience. She was just like, well, the Count's a jerk, and turns out that guy's a jerk, and oh, good, Julian's the least jerky guy I could marry.
Well, the thing is, like, when that scene happened in the haberdashery store, my thought wasn't, oh, she just wants to be safe. My thought was like, oh my God, she's in love with Julian and she can't just admit it to herself. So like, which means like, for all intents and purposes, she doesn't want to be safe. She wants to be with Julian.
It's 3 days. Even when I was 17, Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a good choice.
Oh, yeah, and I'm also, I think we're all right in saying I do not think she loved him, obviously. Oh, no. And even though partway through the book, I think page 162 is when she was like, I think I'm falling in love with him. And I was like, no, nothing's happened. He literally, left you to drown once and wouldn't, be polite, and like, you were uncomfortable sleeping in the same bed as him, so he was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm gonna sleep in this bed, good luck, find a place to be.
Yeah, go find another place to sleep in this strange place.
I'm sorry, I'm just gonna say it, Julian's a piece of shit and I don't like him. He's a bad love interest and I don't like him, and I did not like that about this book.
Well, and I think the other concerning thing was that he was I think she made an effort to write him as someone you should like,
which is just mind-boggling. I thought she was making an effort to make him unlikable, and then I got to the end and I was like, he's still kind of the same.
She's supposed to be, like, in love with him.
He's trash. Sorry.
And, like,
girls,
yeah.
if you meet a guy sorry, like Julian, sorry. Or boys, if you meet a guy like Julian, he's trash. Don't talk to him. He's yeah. terrible.
I think it was that whole, like, he's like, doesn't commit to her, and he's, like, flighty. But then when it really counts, he comes through, which is kind of like, and when how people end up.
I mean, he rarely does it. With her, that's the thing. Also, yeah. he would show up a lot. Like, she wouldn't bother to write the scenes where he did these things either. He'd show up and be like, I got your earrings back and I'm bleeding from the head. And then, like, and that was, like, he doesn't really talk that much about it. Doesn't talk about his motivations. Like, why did you get the earrings? How did you feel like you wanted to do a thing for her?
Wait, you can tell he really liked her because he attacked another man for her.
There mm-hmm. was that stupid punching scene. That's actually what brought down the bit where I was like, this is the most interesting bit of the book and I'm actually excited. That part mm-hmm. I don't know if we're talking about something
I
else right now
remember.
Is it okay if I get into the
oh go for
this
it.
Part where she was in the dress shop and she had to pay with her two questions and mm-hmm. she answered the first one right and the second one the scale wouldn't accept so she had to die
yeah
for 2 days. So as soon as I heard die and like she did that thing where she ends the chapter and it makes it seem dramatic, that was the only time where it tricked me because I was like, ooh, she's gonna die now.
Yeah, because you think it's like off the end of her life or something and the lady's like, nope, right now, because how do I know how long you're gonna live?
And I want to talk about her stupidity with like the fey-ness of how people said their questions and how she's playing a game and still wasn't paying attention to people's language. Anyway,
nope.
But that's exactly what happened. Is she got tricked into, they were like, okay, we're taking 2 days of your life now. You're
and
gonna
she's
die
like, okay.
for 2 days. Yeah. yeah. So she found out she was gonna die. And not only was she gonna die for 2 days, she's dying right then. So like she starts to feel like she's gonna fall down. And the lady's like, okay, don't die here. Because
yeah.
if someone
I don't
like,
deal with you.
She's like, if someone finds your body and your body dies, you're dead. But if it's not, if it's somewhere safe, you'll come back in 2 days. So like I was like, high yep. stakes, this is interesting. Yeah. She's gonna die. She's running through the city, kind of trying to like get back to her hotel. And at first I'm like, okay, this will be interesting. And then it's kind of like she stumbles into a dude, and then she kind of stumbles into Dante, and then it becomes all about Dante again. And then yeah. Julian shows up yep. to punch him in the face and becomes all about that.
What did you do to her? Punch. It's
it
like,
was
what the fuck, man?
Yeah. It literally is. There are so many good tropes in this book because of that, too. There was definitely the moment of like, get your hands off of her. And he like punches him for no reason and then drags yeah. her into the room. And that's when he does the thing that's supposedly so romantic where he's like, I'll make you drink my blood. And then we'll both die for just 1 day and we'll split it.
Yeah.
In
and then
theory,
we'll spoon.
And yep. then we'll spoon.
While we're both dead
and dying. And in theory, I'm like, in theory, that could have been a really great sacrifice. You're right. That's a lot to do for someone, although that's the most boring death scene ever. Like, yeah. I realized after a while that the word death is synonymous with sleep, just the way all the other yeah. words were decoys. She could have just as easily been sleeping. It was not that interesting. She
no, yeah,
died,
she
supposedly,
was
but it's just like...
No exploration into, like, yeah. what happened while she was dead. Yep. Did she, like, go experience, like, some other dead people?
She dies,
like,
air quotes, and then she
yeah.
wakes
oh,
up.
She, yeah. No, she has the memories that
the
were
dream.
From the book.
Oh, the dream from the book. Which
where
was...
she finds out that she gets to watch her grandparents make out.
Yeah, yeah. That was the beginning. I like that Tella was like, I don't want to watch this part. She's See like, ya. this is our grandparents making out. This is real gross. But it was just such a letdown because I was like, because she used the word death. And so I was like, high stakes. This is super cool. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of creepy and like it's weird. It was a really sinister part of like Caravelle's not here to help you. You're dying and you better get mm-hmm. to your, you know, because mm-hmm. everything's working against you. Time, everything. And it still managed to be so boring. And
well,
she
yeah. everything
back to the
boys. In this book, she went back to the boys and then everything in this book works out for her.
Yeah.
Everything.
So I wasn't
works
even that
out.
Concerned. I think yeah. maybe it's because it was the closest she came to really being in trouble.
Yeah. But like, oh. And the thing is, like, she never even, like, it's fine if, like, if the character, like, is challenged and then, like, fails and then, like, yeah. figures something out. But it's just everything just worked out. There was no failure.
Yeah. Even at the end, after she thinks her sister is, like, dead and gone mm-hmm. forever, she's like, I'm going to kill myself, too. I'm like, no. Katniss this shit, get a sword, and start killing people left and right. Like, Jesus yeah. Christ, you're in a dangerous place. Like, grab something and just, like, grab that chair. Start beating your dad with a chair. Do yeah. something. Jesus Christ.
World Wrestling Federation style.
Still don't fully understand how her sister came back.
Oh, off screen. Just doesn't matter.
Yeah, she just, walks into the room, and you're like, what?
Literally, lol, you loved me enough.
Yeah, literally, good thing.
You loved me enough. And it granted, she didn't even have to say the words, I wish my sister were alive. She's just like, oh, you wanted it. So yeah. here I am.
Well, I mean, she did go down to the body and, like, try to give
she
it some
it,
of her,
yeah,
blood.
Her blood.
She tried to do the blood thing that Julian did.
Yeah. yeah, but that didn't really work. But
I'm
we
amazed.
Don't really know what's going on.
She didn't seem to find it as sexy the second time. The first time, she was way too into it. She's like, I'm in the middle of dying. I'm super uncomfortable. His fingers in my mouth full of blood. My fingers in his mouth full of blood. This is a sex moment for sure.
Neither of them wash their hands.
Neither of them wash their hands.
Who knows what they are like carrying there.
It was just, yeah. We're going to talk about each of the romance scenes and just how not romantic they were. Yeah. Such a turnoff.
Okay. No. Tell us about Donatella.
Okay. So Donatella is Scarlet's sister, in case anyone forgot.
Yeah. Donatella slash Tella, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sister.
The bitchy blonde one.
The bitchy blonde one.
The useless blonde one, I think is what I'll call her. She's useless.
No, she... We don't see her, but she actually does stuff.
She seems like she would be useful. It's just that I found her pretty useless at the end, especially when Daniel Dangle came in and I was like, you didn't figure out in the 5 days that you were with this guy that that legend switched around.
I think that was part of the act.
Crap, you're right. I forgot. Yeah. Yep, you're
but
right.
That whole end was a little confusing. What is this bait and switch
and
happening?
And I did mostly judge her during that, so I'm remembering now. Yeah. It's dangerous.
Because that's the only
actually,
real time
she,
you see her.
Yeah, and that's what I forgot. She was acting. She was acting stupid. Yeah. But everyone was so stupid. I was like, okay, she's dumb. Too great.
Yeah. But no, she's the only one who really does anything
Thank
out of
you for
all
reminding
the women.
Me
well, I mean,
that plot
so
twist.
Caravelle, like the whole book only happens supposedly because Scarlet has written Legend a letter every year since she was 11, being like, I really want to go, but it's okay if you don't send me an invitation. I just really want to go. Okay, thanks, bye. And then Donatella, at the end, we find out, wrote Legend. Her own letter that was basically like, I bet you're a fucked up shit, but my sister really wants to go, so give us tickets. And then he's like, all right.
Well, no, it was more like, you're into some freaky shit, but don't worry, I am too.
Let's
make something really twisted together. And he was like, I am intrigued.
Maybe I would have liked this book if it had been written from Tella's perspective, but it just seemed like...
Do you guys just want to rewrite the book?
It was just Scarlet. And also, there's a bit in this note. I can't remember what I wrote, but I wrote specifically about how annoying it was that she was, this book reeks of date rape, and also Scarlet needs to get off her sister's ass. Like, she spends so much time trying to protect Tella, and sometimes it's... necessary, but most of the time it seems like Tella's doing just goddamn fine.
Yeah. I mean, she did leave when she heard them having really ruckus sex. She was like, okay, fine, you do you, and did leave at that point.
But after banging on the door, and not like, obviously she was trying to find her sister. She didn't know what was wrong with her. But still, even like throughout all of it, it was just...
I don't know. I don't have a sister.
So that's why.
So there's like probably... I have a brother, though. And I just feel like... if I was, like, looking for him and, like, that worried about him and apparently he was having ruckus sex, I'd be like, fucking deal with it. I'm coming in so I can see your face. Shut up. Let me in.
It was a weird moment.
Cover
to
your
also...
dick. I'll be out in a second.
Yeah, for exactly. A girl who's, like, obsessed with her sister, it was a weird moment to be like, I will give in now. Because she was embarrassed, supposedly. Although for a girl who's, like, constantly seems to be thinking about sex. It was weird for her to be like, she was supposed to be a prude, kind of. Like, she was supposed to be very reserved. I shouldn't say prude. She was supposed to be very reserved. But it still was weird. I was like, you are desperate to find your sister. There she is on the other side of the door. Just touch base. I get it. She's fucking. But stop her.
Yeah,
you
know? It's fine.
I would guaranteed. I would just kick down the sister's door. I remember thinking a joke of like, should put a fucking sock on the door. I'm sorry. I'm coming in.
Yeah, I just like, I don't, I would, even for my brother, I'd be like, yeah, deal with it. I'm coming in.
But then she forgets about her.
Yeah.
She just kind of forgets about her.
Well, and she, there was like a good reason for her to be worried because like supposedly Julian dropped Tella off at the island, went back for whatever her name is, Scarlet. And then...
That's so
good. And then when they came back to the island, Tella wasn't there. And like Scarlet specifically notices that there are no footprints left from Tella. Yeah. So like
they did a 101 Dalmatians.
Is wrong. Yeah. Maybe.
She literally was gone from when Scarlet awoke from her comatose like chloroform stupor. Yeah. So I'd be concerned if I had just
really
been chloroformed and woke
concerned.
Up in a boat and my sister wasn't there.
Also, that she was asleep for 2 days. Like, was someone monitoring her vitals?
God, I hope so, because that's really bad for you.
Yeah. Also, the second that she was left alone in the boat with him, I was like, okay, so he's the guy. He's the one that matters.
Him.
And like from the beginning, I could kind of tell, but I was really, but I couldn't tell because he did not seem. He was really like the shittiest possible guy when you met him.
It was an act.
Yeah, it was an act. That's right. Everything I want to rant about is the romance bit. So I'll just bide my time.
But so at the end, it like turns out that Tella was part of the person that like orchestrated this, and I don't understand. She said like she wanted her sister to live.
Oh yeah, in
or
the
something.
End, they so all
the, the entire thing is just such a strange, like what did you want to have happen to your sister? You wanted her to see you die.
Were they
and
all in on
you?
It? In the end, everyone but Scarlet was in on it, right?
Yeah, and so I was like, what was the point of this? What did we learn? Scarlett's in love with this jackass now.
But she was supposed to be in love with Dante because he was the one that she was supposed to fall in love with.
The bad boy.
It was such a bad. It was just bad. It was bad.
Yep. And then
it was such a bad performance considering that everyone knew that they were performing.
Also, can we talk about when she got her fortune read, though, how much of a bro the fortune teller
Nigel.
Was? He, like, Nick, he still dropped the, like, work clue, quote unquote, of, like, you have to follow the guy with the black heart, a.k.a. Dante, who has the black heart tattoo. But at the same time, he's like, you think Julian's cute? You like him? You like Julian?
And that was all she would do.
I was like, afterwards, looking back, I'm like, that guy was a bro. He was just like checking in for his friend. Yeah. Just like, yeah, you should go for that.
You like him? You like him? He's got a big dick. He's a really cool guy.
He literally was just kind of like, you're into that guy. Also,
have you ever seen how like the sunlight bounces off of his hair and like, you know, the muscles all chiseled there? And I'm not crying. Isn't that, you know, just because everyone's straight in
you're
this
right.
book.
You're right. I was like, you're right. Nigel was the queer character he must have been, and he was secretly lusting after Julian, and he just couldn't express his feelings. That would make me feel much happier, so I'm going to pretend that that's the truth.
I mean, he's covered in tattoos, so who knows? Like,
I don't know. Nigel seems like he could be cool, but you're right. Yeah. He definitely was acting like a bro. And his fortune-telling skills, not that impressive, because he's like, you're looking. I see you're looking at the heart next to my lips, and also the lock also next to my lips. I'm like, so she's looking at your mouth while you're talking?
All this tells us is that she has social anxiety and doesn't like making eye contact.
And also that you're kind of mostly naked, and she's kind of looking at your lips. She's like, oh, you're kind of
looking at your body covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
Wonder why.
Because you're covered in tattoos. And like, even his explanations, like, I can't remember the exact part, but there's a bit where he's trying to explain how the future works to her, and he sums it all up, but it contradicts the things he just said, so it's not very well thought through.
Well, I mean, there's the things that are, like, actually the truth, and then there's the things that he was scripted to say to everyone. I mean, scripted to say to her to continue on with
this is also the scene where he asks her what she thinks of Julian, and she's like, he's the most attractive person I've ever met, and you're just like...
It's like, you haven't been a lot of places, have you?
I told Audrey my contacts dried out because I rolled my eyes so much during this book. I gotta take these out because this is just, son of a god damn it. Yeah, it was just really, it was just frustrating watching her do these stupid things because there were so many things that I figured out, like page 50 or guessed page 50, and then at page 170.
I guessed about
it'd be
Donna's plot twist letter on page 128.
There were so many plot twists that were letdowns.
Donna's letter, or Tella's letter at the end where she's like,
Donna.
Yeah, Donna would be a better nickname.
Yeah.
Tella's letter at the end where she's like, where she's the one that wrote to Legend, I figured that out on page 128.
Yeah. There's so many secrets.
What
that
happened?
Aren't good
secrets.
I don't remember, but in my little like journaly thing, I have.
Yeah, she leaves a note with it signed. Someone leaves a note signed D, right? And she thought it was no. She figures out it's Donatella. I thought it was Dante.
No,
actually.
It's Darcy.
Oh, you're right. It is Darcy. Yeah.
There was something about like, I don't remember what happened, but I was like Tella's. So my little note says it wasn't Scarlett's letter that caught Legend's eye. It was Tella's. Then he went back and compared her letters to Tella's, which told him all the juicy details. So basically I meant like he compared the sisters' personalities and was like, this is the one I want to fuck with.
Yeah.
And then like, this is the one I actually
this is the one I want to fuck. Literally that's what he did.
And then he arranged things accordingly.
I think book two is essentially going to be Legend, like trying to seduce Donatella.
Yeah. Or Scarlett.
I have
one
no
of the
interest.
Two of them.
No. Scarlett's already with Julian, but it's going to be.
But he's going to rip
horrible...
them apart.
No, it's going to be one of those tropes where it's the brothers and the sisters end up together.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, it's the two sisters.
Your face.
I am so not interested in Legend. They built him up a lot, and they made him real uninteresting.
We don't even know
and
what he looks
meet
like
him,
that.
And you're like, you're boring as fuck.
And then
but
you find
you
out
never
that
meet
guy's
him.
Technically not Legend, but even if I feel like I don't know. They've
oh, that's
set him
right.
Up.
You never meet him.
No, you set kind him up of do. He was the faceless date rape guy at the very end of the book where she's like, I'm really fucking drunk. And then some guy like dances with her, and she's like, I guess I'll sleep with him. And then he disappears, and that was him.
What did he leave in her pocket again? A note?
Yeah, because the sinister note
was heavy enough for her to feel?
Yeah, well, obviously. Tella is like paying for this whole thing with something, so
oh Jesus.
Which are you done with Donatella?
Yeah,
then
I'm
we can
done.
Go on to Kathy's smut corner.
Yay.
I love the first sentence that you have on the outline for it.
Just
the first
did we
line.
Already go through
missed the boat.
Yeah, missed the boat encapsulated, and I think this is perfectly encapsulated with the kissing tent, which is past when she goes over to bro the fortune teller. Julian's like, okay, I'm gonna go over to the kissing tent. And this is the thing, this is a teen book, It could be so much more. Like, the fact that it's only a kissing tent. Like, we probably all, like, for people who read Wicked,
a little
the
innocent.
Book,
oh, yeah, yeah, Wicked.
When you read Wicked, the Ooh. Book, you're probably a teenager, and you're like, huh, this is a weird tiger.
What is it,
sex.
A massage parlor?
No, it's a weird fucking, like, it's a fuck den.
Yeah, oh. It's a fuck den, and there's bestiality.
Yeah, there's a fucking lot, like, there's munchkins and tigers and like,
everything's
and
in there. And as a teenager,
in a
you're
stable,
like,
what?
Shit.
Yeah, and you're just like, this isn't Wicked. So, like, that's what I'm considering, like, the base, even though that's not a teen book, that's what I'm considering, like, the base.
I mean, but a lot of teens read that book, because when it, yeah. well, I read it as a teen.
I read it as a teen.
Can we redo this map and just figure out where the sex den would be and write it all down? Because this map is full of so many buildings, and there are six boring ones, but, like, I want to know where the sex den is in Caravelle. Right.
There's got to be one.
Yes,
there's got to.
And also a freaking kissing tent.
Yeah, what the fuck is a kissing, like, maybe kissing tent, quote, unquote.
Yeah, did she
find a giant rave, MDMA flowing through the crowd. Everyone's just making out, just, that's probably where you would get your, like, you know, representation of other, you know,
there
pansexuality.
You go. Yeah, maybe the interesting
still,
people were doing something else.
Yeah, like, maybe there was a sick club down the street that she missed out on. But, like, the kiss, like, just kissing tent. It's so mundane. It's so boring.
It's,
you could do, like,
it's
this
so
is a,
carnival. It's like a carnival thing.
But this is, like, but this is a sinister carnival.
Yeah, but this is supposed to actually be,
go,
yeah,
like,
no, I know.
Take it up. It's, put it up 1,000. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Make it
so
actually vaguely sinister.
Yeah.
Make it smutty.
Yes. That was the other thing. I think we were all frustrated by the fact that this book was mostly marketed as fantasy, romance, and Audrey, you said even horror.
Yeah, some review I read said horror, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
What part of this is horror?
I don't know. She dies for 2 days. That's got to be scary,
you
right?
Can, like, it's very scary, like, when you go to sleep and then you wake up the next day. Terrifying.
I mean,
there's already parts we've mentioned in talking about it where, like, you can see where the horror, like, there was a horror slant that she was going for. Just shot right past because she was, for some reason, really concerned about also making it, like,
This book is lots of hopes and dreams. It wanted to be a lot of things.
Like,
let's go back to the kissing tent and let's think about how, like, they do, I guess, they don't have money there. So think about it. Think about what, like, a more dark, smutty, like, just over the top sexual, like, you have to trade something to get your carnal desires. And it could be
rim job.
So great.
Sorry.
Your carnal desire is a rim job?
No, it's just the grossest thing I could think of that you'd have to pay with.
Yeah. See, you were thinking that way. I'm thinking more like you have to give up your self-respect. You have to give up something like really
intense. In a
weird
way, yours was darker than mine.
Yeah. No, like it's not like I don't know, because I guess I don't want to, like, conflate self-respect and sex and stuff like that, because, you know, it's all, but, like,
there, yeah, could have gone
there's
way darker.
There's so
yeah.
many dark and wonderful things that, like, could have happened there, and I was just like, oh, it's a kissing booth.
After watching The Handmaid's Tale and
about,
see how good they were at dark, I was this is really underwhelming.
And there was something about the whole thing that, like, the point of Caravelle was to, like, let go and, like, experience your dark side or whatever. But then at the very end, there was this weird moralization of it where it was like, the stuff you do at Caravelle stays with you. And, like, basically implied,
and it becomes,
like,
part of who you are.
Yeah, and it basically implied, like, if you cheat on your wife, you're going to regret it or whatever. And
I
it was
became
like,
pregnant at the kissing tent.
I was like, if this is a game for adults to do whatever they want, there should be more debauchery happening.
There's not
enough debauchery
happening
here.
Just debauchery. Just humans. Have you read Lord of the Flies?
It's literally, like, it could have been Hogsmeade. It could have been Hogsmeade with a bunch of people just running around buying stuff.
It's Disney World. It's Disneyland, but,
it's
like,
Disney
a
World,
little
but
scarier
with enough
and with
drugs
some magic.
That I think I wrote down somewhere that it's just date rape in a bougie dress. It's just like,
oh my god, that is it. Yeah, that is it.
It's fancy. The whole thing is just kind of like, I was like, are you having fun? No, here, have some of this. I don't know, it'll probably be good. And then she's like, oh, it's magic. I'm feeling really lightheaded.
Oh my god, can we rename the book Date Rape in a Bougie Dress?
Sure.
When we rename it and rewrite it,
oh my god,
fix everything about it.
So that's what it'll be.
Just the episode titled Date Rape in a Bougie Dress by Stephanie Carver.
Oh boy. Yeah, it could kind of just look the same. Yeah, we wouldn't have to change the cover much.
No,
it's pretty much the same, but I don't know. I'm just... It could have been so dark and wonderful and smutty, but instead it's just...
I think our main reason for being so mad is just because of how let down we were. How much we were, like, ready for it to be a
awesome.
Thing that was good. Yeah, the premises were good. That's the thing. I was like, you're starting with so many totally viable ideas.
Yeah, I was ready to question myself and not believe anything, like the inside cover said.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I was going through being like, maybe it's... that was the only reason I read all the way through thinking maybe it could still be good, because I couldn't tell what was real and what wasn't real. And then I got to the end and I was like, oh... it was all just kind of face value.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all like the same.
Well, and it was interesting too, because like there were, so part of my frustration with this is that she doesn't take the game seriously and acts like in this super, like she just doesn't take it seriously as a game, which is like, why are you there then?
Well, she was drugged and brought there.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Technically,
date rape.
She wasn't actually ever going to go to this. There's definitely a lot of, like, not... This book is full of non-consent and being okay.
But it reminded me, when I was thinking about it, it reminded me of The Labyrinth and Sarah's opinions at the... Or the way she acted at the very beginning.
I've
where
actually
she's kind of,
never seen that movie, so just...
We should watch it. It's delightful.
Oh, my God. Just keeping that in mind while you explain.
Delightful.
I don't know.
It's about the Spanish Civil War.
Labyrinth?
Really?
Oh, I'm thinking Pan's Labyrinth. Yes. Wrong one.
Also a good movie, but
haven't
much
seen that
darker.
One either.
Sorry, not the David Bowie one. I was like, delightful.
No, the one where David Bowie walks around in tight pants.
I was like,
with
she was
owls.
Murdered at the end.
So what you're saying is, makes sense. We need a Labyrinth marathon.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Both of them. They're both great movies.
Back to back.
That's a lot. but Sarah, the main character of The Labyrinth, is kind of like this privileged white girl who's like, my life is really hard because I have a stepmom and my younger brother, and I have to babysit my younger brother. Like, the whole...
First world problems.
I know.
First
but
world
But, like,
white
the point
problem.
Of the labyrinth is, it, like, challenges that. So, like, okay. Her entire thing in the labyrinth is, like, this isn't fair. And by the end, she's like, it's not fair because life's not fair.
Yeah.
And fuck this. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
She could have just like, waited until she was 22 and out of undergrad to learn that.
but that, like, I just, like, Labyrinth explored that, like, your problems aren't real. Like, this dude's going to steal your brother and, like, you know, turn him into a goblin if you don't get him back. And there were, like, real consequences, and it was, like, a real journey.
Yeah.
This, she had, like, she learned nothing. And also, like, I'm sorry. I just feel like if your dad is physically abusive and you watched him murder one of your childhood friends, that you would maybe be a little more realistic about the dark things that exist in the world.
Oh, yeah.
In
definitely.
General. And she just, like, displays no awareness of, like, people are shitty.
Yeah. She's weirdly naive in weird
weirdly
ways.
Naive for someone whose father murdered someone else in front of her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's irritating.
Yeah. If you want a good, like, carnival or whatever book to read, Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury. It's, like, not romantic or anything like that, but it's light years ahead in terms of spooky carnival.
I'm, like, doodling it down. I have actually not read The Night Circus. Have either of you read The Night Circus
no.
that it was compared to? Okay, then
someone
I have no idea how
that.
Close that comparison is, so I won't even bother. But I did just really quickly want to say that one of the things, not just the location about Caravelle that pissed me off, but, like, page 83, the rhyme or whatever it is, the clues that
the
barely
clues,
rhymed,
and then
the
she makes fun of it herself?
Heck yeah.
But you're like... Oh, no, honey.
Yeah.
Like, that was so bad. Like, you shouldn't have.
They shouldn't have put it in. The clues are really bad and lame. The rhyme's really bad and lame. And so that's why I was like, it's not even like, I remember my note literally says, what a boring Caravelle greeting. It didn't even rhyme. JK would have had a killer rhyme. JK Rowling would have nailed that rhyme, biz.
Yeah,
it's
but
true.
But it's literally, can anyone find the card, too, that she kept looking at that had the rhymes? It starts with, this girl was last seen with legend. And now, of course, I can't find it, even though I wrote down the page. But it's so boring. The rhymes are really
there
like...
It was.
No,
if a child had to make a rhyme, they would do it this way. So it's like, this girl was last seen with legend.
131.
Thank you.
This is your first clue on the road to find her. The others will not be so easy to retrieve.
Mm-hmm.
Some will make you question your sanity and all that you believe. Clue number two you'll discover in the rubble of her departure. Number three you must earn. Number four will cost you something valuable. And number five requires a leap of faith. Most of you will fail, but one will surely succeed. You have 5 nights to find the 4 remaining clues, and then the girl, and legend's wish will be yours. So there was one rhyme.
And then the little bit in the beginning.
Oh, sorry, the little bit in the beginning.
No, that's okay, because this didn't, but it did start
to rhyme. You have well and hell and rich. And then she literally gave up halfway through.
Literally, this girl was last seen with legend. If you catch her, you'll catch him as well. Of course, you may have to venture through hell, but if you succeed, you may find yourself rich. This year's winner will be granted one wish. That's really sad. That's really sad. I remember reading through it going, oh, is this? Because I was like, maybe it's like riddly and I'll have to figure. I mean, I looked at this for a minute and before I was like, oh, no, it really is just exactly what it said, what it appears to be. And what it appears to be is really disappointing.
Yeah. And there's like, that was the thing. You're like, oh, maybe there's a riddle in it. And then like, as the book progresses, you're like, nope, it's exactly what
it's exactly
what it was. So there was no like layers to this. The biggest like surprise depth to this book was the weird staff tunnels.
Yes.
Like,
which we don't even see for the most part.
No. She barely is in them. Like, two encounters happen in them, and she doesn't really go that far into them. Yeah. So it was just, like, even that bit of it could have made it more of a game if you'd even, like, done the riddles better or made it more, like, seeky and searchy, because it was, like, definitely more like murder mystery, supposedly. But she didn't even try to go that route. And so, like, I just remember being like, this could have been so magical. And, like, rhymes always give me chills no matter how bad they are, unless they're really, really, really not good. And this was so underwhelming is my word. It's such a bummer because I don't like to hate on books. And I don't think I wouldn't say I hated this book. I just would if I would never prioritize this book.
It disappointed me.
Disappointed. Yeah. That's the word. It's like when your mom's like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. It's like that. I'm not mad at you, Stephanie. I'm just disappointed.
Before we wrap up, do we want to zip back and talk about the boat scene where she almost drowns?
I want to talk about all the romance, actually. I wanted to very quickly go through each romance scene and name them and talk about why they're not sexy. First romance scene is the one after she's been chloroformed. She wakes up on a boat, and then the boat suddenly sinking, and they have to jump into the water.
Inexplicably suddenly sinking very quickly.
In winter, by the way. This water is ice fucking cold.
Yep.
And so Julian is like, can you swim? You better hurry up because the boat's sinking. You better get all your clothes off. And that's like a moment where they're like, you have to take all your clothes off.
And she's like, I can't. I'm embarrassed.
I'm a lady. But like, I'm like, priorities. Take them off. Take off your corset. So basically, Julian like dives away, and she kind of can't get her clothes fast enough. So she's just drowning.
She
in her
tries. She doesn't want to do it. So she tries to row the boat.
But he leaves her. He just leaves her.
And then like apparently, I guess it gets to the point where she's like, guess it's too late. I'll just jump in with my clothes on.
With a corset and full petticoats, which if you've never seen like Pirates of the Caribbean or read any book about the petticoat times, you can't swim in those.
No. I am sure she sank like a stone.
She was sinking and drowning. And then he comes back and he's like, what did he say? She was like, you left me. And he's like, I thought you could swim. And I was like, she was clearly thrashing around in her dress. Like, whether or not she can swim is irrelevant to the situation right now.
I mean, he's been through, 40 pages of being told that she's sensible? I think he expected her to be sensible.
Well, and to be fair, he was like, can you swim? And she was like, I grew up on an island. And then immediately the author started rolling that back and was like, I don't know if I've ever swam that far before. And I was like, then why the fuck did you say you could swim it?
Why is this nutty? Also, my mother, it was born on Jamaica, and she and my aunt both cannot swim. So island does not necessarily mean they grew up in Kingston. Jamaica's fucking huge, so weren't really near that much water. Also, did not like water. So
my dad's from Michigan. Can't
so
swim.
So she's drowning. He comes back to cut her out of her clothes with a knife.
Yep,
and that's when she's like, "This is sexy time."
Which also, like, I do not know how the physics of that worked
without him gutting her.
Without him gutting her, and without her still drowning and sinking.
Yes,
because like.
I pictured them underwater, and he just put the.
Had just been talking.
Yeah, so it sounds like, and either way, she had to be somehow getting some air.
Yeah,
so like,
because she was in the middle of drowning.
So here's what I'm imagining: thrashing him with his arm around her waist, trying to like hold her still so she doesn't drown him, and then the knife, which she said she felt the tip go from her chest down to like her waistband, and all I'm like is if you can feel the tip, and you're in ice cold water, and he's behind you, and he clearly can't. He's going to stab you. My main concern would be being gutted. My main concern would be that the water is negative 32 degrees. And, like, how can you even feel sexy in negative 32 degree weather? Yeah. But she was, like, all she focused on was that Julian's arm was wrapped around her waist. And she just had never been this close to a boy before. Yeah. I could not fathom.
Yep. So, like, and also what happens when you shouldn't actually try and rescue a drowning person unless you've been trained, because they will try and climb up you.
That's why I assumed he was behind her, too, because if he was in front of her, I assume she would have just been, like, climbing over the top of his head.
No, she would have been so overcome by the fact that she was near a boy she just froze. I don't know.
So, first instance of her being like, my life's cool, but mostly, this guy. I'm into this guy.
Yeah.
Second instance of romance, I think, is after he gets clocked over the head by that guy trying to get her earrings back, and he comes back to the room with a head wound.
Yeah.
And she's, like, trying to take care of him, and he does this weird trick where he's like, there's blood all over me. You better check my stomach wound, and like lifts up his shirt. And she's like trying to clean off all the blood. And then he's like, nah, I just wanted you to touch my stomach. Do you not remember that bit?
No, I remember that bit. And I'm like laughing because it's just like, dude, that's fucking weird.
And she kind of was it. Like, she was like, oh, okay. That was another moment where she was like, kind of, she's like, the lines of a stomach.
And then was like, not enough. Like, you're a dick for
and
doing
also,
that to me.
In that point, I'm like, you're currently suffering from a head wound. I'm just going to focus right now on the head wound.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, this isn't an attractive time. You're covered in blood. Third one.
Hey, some people are into that.
Some people are totally into that. Well, it's just not the first thing I'd.
Not the first place most people go.
When I was thinking about what to say when you were going to ask why should you read this book, one of my thoughts was, if you're like a budding sadomasochist and you're into that, read it. I don't know. Because it seems like during all the violent bits, but it more seems like they're trying to trick you into thinking this is romance or that it could happen anywhere. Like, it's against her will. The whole this point is like, it's against her will. She doesn't want to love him, but she does anyway. But, like, it's at times when I don't think anybody. Yeah. So, like, the second time Julian's bleeding, no sexy time. Third time is the time after she's dying where he, like, puts her bleeding finger in her mouth and she puts her there's lots of bleeding and it's almost
and
like
also they're
vampiric,
literally dying.
Dying, like not comfortably. Like they're describing how she's like, I feel terrible. I feel like I'm dying. So she's dying. They're both dying. They're like turning gray. Their organs are stopping. They're in their room lying down. But she is like, boy, I wish I wasn't dying so we could do more.
Yeah.
I'm spooning.
So like that wasn't it. And they were just really into the blood sharing thing. Like she focused on that a whole bunch. And I was like, I mean, it's not a vampire book, so I'm kind of curious why you decided this was what people were going
to
be into.
Yeah. And then it gave her weird powers to like
feel his
or
emotions
see
for
Julian's
a little bit.
Emotions for like
so it
I mean, for like 10 minutes or whatever. Yeah. But like what?
Yeah. Then there were more feelings. And then there was the final bit that I consider to be, these are all the bits that I think were moments when the book focused on Scarlett's feelings of I'm going to just call it lust because there's no romance.
Yeah.
It was the time they were in the tunnels and they had to hide in this tiny room, very Elias and Laia style when they were running an ember in the ashes, but a million times worse because they squeeze in and the walls start to like slowly, they realize that they're slowly crushing them. Mm-hmm. And she's focusing on that kind of, but mostly she's like, now I'm pressed against Julian this way. And like, she's trying to find the dot knob, but he's accidentally like touching her butt. And that's what she's thinking.
Yeah.
I was just like, by then I was so sick of Scarlett that I wasn't even giving her the benefit of the doubt. But I was like, you are the worst. You are the worst. This is the worst. And all of these romance scenes are gross and bleedy. And I don't get why you think this is romantic. So in the end, I would say this book had no romance in it. There was none.
Zero smut.
No. Zero smut, zero romance.
Like, they're not, they don't, yeah, he doesn't love her.
Yeah, there's also no smut. At the very least, I thought that it would be really, like, at least smutty. I was like, okay, so lust is at least talked about. Maybe someone will have sex later. Nah, no smut, no romance. Yeah. It's not for that if you're into that.
So at least not healthy romance.
So I really wanted to go over that just to be like, I just want everyone to be aware this is not what romance looks like in case you're new to romance.
Well, and that's totally fair because like this is aimed at teens who are new to romance.
Yeah.
And so like that's a totally valid thing to be like, this isn't how people who like actually care about you should be behaving.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not.
It's a problematic book.
Yeah, a bunch of children just filed into the other room and are watching us record, which is great.
Oh, no, really?
Like, looks like people from a teen
school?
Program.
I'm super glad.
Who
I
knows?
Can't see them.
Yep.
Yeah, you're hidden in the corner, so it's just them looking at
situation.
Audrey.
Oh, God.
But anyway, thank you, everyone, for listening to us rant for an hour plus a few minutes.
Thank you so much for all of your patience.
Yes.
For screaming.
I'm going to go read like 60 romance novels because I
palate cleanser.
I need fake romance that doesn't suck.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you can tell she definitely doesn't have kids looking at her right now from her saying that. Please rate and review us on iTunes. It'll be really helpful to us just to, you know,
get the word out.
Yeah, and we can actually see if people are enjoying it. If you have any books or suggestions for us, fellowyouths@gmail.com. It's really cool. And the next book in line is mine. So I get to choose. Okay.
Please let there be smut in this one. Although it's
kind of
not, it's fine.
Yes.
It's fine. Okay.
Kind of. Okay. So
yeah.
I have a long-term plan for my like recommendations over
long
the next few things.
Long con. Cool.
Good.
Yeah. But the next book in line is going to be from the goddess Tamara motherfucking Pierce.
Hey. Audrey is really pleased by that added middle name.
Yeah. See, and like, granted, she's problematic. She has her own issues sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Numair for this.
Listen.
People who know the books will know.
I don't know enough about this particular instance. I've read her books, but not
Stork
these.
Mage. Listen.
Yeah. Like the Jeff Goldblum mage.
Let's be honest.
Okay. But anyway, so what I am going to suggest we read are the first two books in the Song of the Lioness Quartet.
Okay.
It's because... They're shorter.
Short. This was back before teen books could be long.
Yeah, and I think that one overlapped the tiniest bit with youth, so they weren't sure. So the size is more conducive
and
to
it
youth,
kind of
I think.
Goes a little bit. Like, the second one is her as a teenager, first one is her as a child. But honestly, if you haven't read these books, I would say, are the canon for fantasy teen lit. Every single teen book that has been written after that and has a castle, has royalty, or has magic is going to be in some way based on these books.
Or influenced at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I guess not based on, but heavily influenced. It's crazy. Like, I was once again hate reading a lot of books this past weekend. I kept throwing them down because I'm like, this is just an inferior Tamara Pierce book. This is just a terrible one. And sometimes there are other books where the authors do a good job, which is going to be like a book series I'm suggesting after we read all these. That's why I'm building up to this.
Ooh,
so
long con for real.
Yeah.
I just really think that you need to get this base if you haven't read it before, mm-hmm. in order to like fully appreciate everything that comes later. Because like everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
I'm excited because I read Tamora Pierce as a teen and like formative. I love her.
I'm so ready to be excited as I read a book. I'm so ready to not be reading a book and feeling like I'm just taking a value.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it also like Audrey read this as formative years. I didn't read them until I was 22.
And I was like, you should read these books. They're great.
Actually, no, I had already read them at that
point. And did they still hold up for you? Oh yeah.
No, not all of them.
It was before. Yeah, not before. I had only read the Lana books and then you convinced me to read the rest.
Yes.
The Lana books are the Song of the Lioness. These are the ones I'm doing. It's so good. Especially if you love teen lit, especially if you love any fantasy, this is something you need to have in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. It's just so good. And once you read the first two books, I guarantee you're going to want to read the next two as well. But for the purposes of our discussion, the first two books.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'm excited. I'm so excited for this.
Gonna do it. I'm excited for any fantasy always, especially when the last fantasy book was read was fake fantasy. With
terrible.
Fake magic in it.
That was the other thing
fake
about magic in this
with fake
book.
Magic.
Let me
it
just
wasn't
throw this
real
in
magic.
The end. There is no magic in this book except apparently on Legends Island and whatever witch gave him his powers.
And,
so like, what the fuck?
And a shape-shifting and a shape-shifting dress. Literally the only.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about the two really quickly.
Dude,
I'm not going to,
sick.
But I was going to talk about the dress as like that would have been a really solid prop, like especially for something that's supposed to be so dramatic. Built-in costume change dress that could have been so great. But mostly what it did was just like put revealing stuff on her when boys were around.
Yeah. Try and embarrass her.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dress?
Suddenly,
be on my team.
Suddenly, like, I know. Like, you're out in the hallway. I think I'll put you in a negligee now because there's a dude around. And, like just the stupidest shit.
I just feel like if she was, like, a real, like, one of us, if we had that dress and we walked out and it became slutty, we'd just be like, the fuck, there aren't even pockets in this thing.
Yeah.
So true. But I think, so that dress thing, though, is, like, part of why this book is fucking creepy. And it's because the dress, I think, after reading the whole thing, I was like, the dress was supposed to reflect her true feelings. So that meant she was attracted to that dude.
Her.
And so, like, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Like, because she then said she was uncomfortable.
Dude, yeah. That's the thing. She spends a lot of time having uncomfortable feelings, but then the book is like, she's enjoying this.
But
don't
actually,
worry.
She likes it.
I don't like that.
Which is creepy.
God. I mean, one of the benefits about being a girl is that you have no outwardly visible signs that you are sexually attracted to someone. You don't pop a bone. So,
yes, that is true, although I've heard that guys have figured out pretty clever ways to disguise. So I feel like if I was a lady and that was a problem, smart ladies would figure it out too.
Yeah.
Also, obviously. I get pretty sweaty, so I feel like it's really obvious.
I mean, I'm just sweaty all the time.
Just constantly sweating, so that's how Kathy disguises it. Her natural musk disguises it.
Oh my God. One of my old roommates, she was just like, she came back and she was just like, her face was lit up so happy. And I was like, what's up with you? And she's like, oh my God, I discovered extra strength deodorant. This has changed my life. She was so happy.
True facts, real things.
I was just like, precious angel.
These are real things that people need.
Yeah.
I remember getting excited about deodorant to friends at school in middle school. I was like, you guys, I'm wearing deodorant today. And I bet they were like, oh, thank God.
Anyways,
sorry, we should wrap this up before we start talking about more stuff that we hate about this book.
Yeah, I think it's best to just let this one go and be like, guys, if you got anything else, if you have anything else to do that day, just don't read this one.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Have a good one, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.